You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has been open for 45 minutes, so it's time for the opening with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg. Nick, it looks like a really, really muted start to the day and also not much going on overseas.
No, morning, Lindsay. It's exactly right. I saw that on one or two websites, actually, the use of the word muted. And I agree, and soggy was another one. This is really not much going on. I mean, more red than green on my screen locally, and more red than green in the indices offshore in Asia this morning too, and more red than green in Europe as it's opening up now. So, we started the U.S. earnings season last night, kicked off quite successfully. J.P. Morgan was pretty good. We spoke about it on your show last night.
Yeah.
And then we've got the trade deal that's coming out in due course, hopefully being signed this afternoon. But so almost ahead of that, Lindsay, it's really baffling to sink my teeth into anything at the moment, almost treading water in these markets.
I saw that the headline that just popped up on my screen with a picture of Mr. Trump, it was something to do with the markets being cautious because of tariffs. Now, I haven't read the story behind that, but I know you've had a look at it because we spoke off it. Just explain what it is, because if there's a trade deal being signed, surely that's the first phase of removing tariffs or adjusting them.
Yeah. So look, this story's been running, as you know, for close to 18 months now, and it's gone from, you know, basically doing a deal to a watered down deal to some wonderful marketing person came up with phase one, whatever that means is anyone's guess. But in a nutshell, there is this first stage between this tit for tat between China and the U.S., obviously number one and number two biggest economies in the world, is a commitment from China to buy $200 billion worth of goods. That's over 2 years. And in that has included $80 billion in manufacturers' goods, I think about $50-odd billion in energy and 30 in agricultural, and I think a similar amount in services, I believe it is. The problem is that they've still got, you know, U.S. have been adding these tariffs every single time, ratcheting up for the first 50, the first 100 billion, the next 200 billion. And part of the conditions, I understand, was to lift those tariffs. But then late last night, last our time, sort of in the U.S. afternoon session, basically a story coming out of Washington that, well, in fact, these tariffs are going to stay. And a lot, it was literally worded along the lines of it'll be reviewed by Mr. Trump, and if he feels like the naughty Chinese are behaving, he's going to lift those tariffs, which with the arrogance was quite astounding. S&P was, the Dow was above 29,000. S&P was at a new high, and after that little story broke, it actually finished down on the session. So, I mean, there's so many moving parts, Lindsay, but the general gist of it, you feel like Mr. Trump is trying to be the big man here and have the upper hand, but I don't know. I'm not convinced how this is going to play out later on this afternoon.
I think he had this massive Milwaukee rally, and it was hugely successful. It really was well attended, and people loved every single word he said. So I think he just gets a bit bold when that sort of thing happens, and he rattles off these tweets and says things that perhaps were unscripted.
Totally unscripted. And of course, the Chinese are not about unscripted. They're very much the opposite. I mean, they want to know what are the rules, where we stand, what's happening, what tariffs you're buying, what tariffs you're not buying. And I suspect that it hasn't been mentioned so much in the main media, but Huawei, which is the sort of Chinese flagship success story of telecommunications and electronics, and it's been in the press recently with American banning the use of Huawei product in the U.S., worried about state security. And of course, over in Europe, it's one of the main sort of base stations for 5G is what they use is Huawei. And they've been, there was a story out yesterday, they've been pushing, Trump has been pushing Mr. Johnson in the United Kingdom to stop using Huawei product. And Mr. Johnson saying, well, he's been trying to be diplomatic, saying, well, they're the best product, which they are the best product. And I suspect that if you remember that company, Huawei, that's going to become more to the fore as the story goes on, because I think that's one of the conditions the Chinese are saying, you basically need to let us operate in a free market with our Huawei product. You can't ban it. And I think that's going to be a story to watch. That might be the stickler amongst all this.
Okay, let's have a look at the markets now. 14.37 is the dollar rand, and I just saw a headline saying that rand firms ahead of retail sales data. I really, really don't think that that is a link that should be pursued. I think that just rand is just firming because it's weakened 50 cents. It's just a little bit of give and take here and there from the forex traders who might be quite bored. So don't worry too much about retail sales. But we will report on that later on. The British pound against the rand is 18.73. The euro rand is 15.99. And the euro dollar is 111.30. The euro dollar's gone really, really quiet in the last few weeks, hasn't it? The Dow Jones futures this morning are down very slightly, down 35 points or something. Last night, the Dow Jones closed just below the 29,000 market, 28,939, which was up very slightly. S&P down very slightly, NASDAQ down 0.25%. This morning in the Far East, Tokyo down 0.5%, so Shanghai, and so is the Hang Seng. All share in Sydney up 0.5%. Yeah, and it's all pretty tedious stuff. Local bond market yields down a couple of pips on the R186. On the commodities markets, the gold price back above 1550. This the new support level, I think, must be the 1540 to 1550 area because it keeps on holding on to that. It's up $5 at the moment. The platinum price is $9.91, up $6. The Brent crude oil price is $64.95, down 11 cents per barrel. And Nick Kunz, the palladium price, please.
A new all-time high, $2,210 an ounce.
What a thing. I mean, start looking at rhodium as well, because rhodium's had an absolutely fabulous year. Well, calendar year and 52 weeks as well. Rhodium as well. It's not quoted as freely as palladium and platinum are, but it's part of the basket and a very important one.
Very important one. In fact, I was listening to the chaps from Impala Platinum giving a news conference, and he was lamenting the fact that he was called Impala Platinum. And he was saying maybe they should change the name to something else, because the majority of the drive in their share price and the huge success they had last year wasn't just off the platinum price. It was massively, as you know, of palladium. And as you pointed out, rhodium. You know, rhodium is a byproduct of platinum that's used in corrosive metals. It does not corrode. So it's a huge import factor for manufacturing and steel. And Impala having the luxury of probably 70-80% of the world's rhodium, they've got access to that. So, I mean, that's just that sweet spot that Impala Platinum is just continues.
So what they do is they dig out platinum, along comes palladium, and behind that comes rhodium, and they're all three of them doing very well, but the latter.
And they own the majority of it, of the access to it in the world too.
Exactly. Okay, let's have a look at the top five major moves after nearly 1 hour of trading. Vukile up 4%, Sogo Sun up 3.25%, Sibanye up 3.1%, Harmony up 2.6%, and Anglo Gold Ashanti up 2.3%, with the gold above 1550. I'm not reversing all of yesterday's losses, because if you remember last night, we were talking the fact that the bottom five performers on the JSE were all commodity stocks, with Mondi thrown in there as well. So it's just a game of ping pong at the moment with this gold price. On the downside, I've got Roynet down 4.75%, Woolies down 2.1% after a massive day yesterday. Sasol, yeah, it's given up 300 again. It's down a couple of percent today to 295. We'll speak about that in a moment. CAP down 1.4%, and Renet is a 1.1% loser. Let's talk about Sasol. It got up to about, what did it get up to? 310, 320? That range, and now back at 295.
Almost 330. Yeah.
Oh.
Look, it's. I mean, I think I did a morning note this morning, and I just said my New Year's wish is that someone give the stock a break at Sasol. You know, they really, it's like the hits keep on coming with this thing. And of course, yesterday's news with the explosion and fire at Lake Charles project. In fact, it was actually happened on the Monday.
Yes.
No casualties, thankfully, but a casualty to the share price, you know. And you know, just speaking aloud, Lindsay, if oil goes north of $70 a barrel and Saudi Arabia refineries get bombed by drones and Americans almost start another war in the Middle East, oil spikes, and all Sasol can do is get to 325 rand a share. You've got to say, you know, that the chances of Sasol seeing 400-500 again, it's starting to look like a stretch. It really is.
Yeah, what you're saying is that it's more sensitive to bad news than it is to good news.
Yeah, and once again, you know, they haven't got to the bottom of all the shenanigans with Lake Charles, and I think it's going to take a while to work it through, although they are making progress. And I think, you know, Sasol's a classic case. I think for long-term shareholders, you've just got to hang in there until the good news starts coming through. But for right now, it's as I said, the hits just keep on coming.
Yes, indeed. Nick, give us the JSE indices after 55 minutes of trading, please.
After 55 minutes of trading, it is in line with global markets, slightly in the red, quarter point down, 119 points on the all share. Top 40 is down 126 points, also a quarter point down. And besides the gold shares, which have got their heads in the green quite nicely, as you pointed out, the rest of the marketplace is in the red. Healthcare down 0.1, financials down 0.1, telecommunication services down 0.5%, and basic materials, the biggest drag, are down 0.75%.
Nick, thank you very much. We'll speak again later on the 5 o'clock shadow. That was Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg, and that was the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.